that I might be like you. It's kind of where the scripture leads us today. But let's begin where the scripture begins, shall we? Now, before faith came, we were imprisoned and guarded under the law until faith would be revealed. So I preached for the first time Thursday night at the prison, and this was the scripture that we used. I think I'm going to start a handbook of things not to preach on at the women's prison. And the opening verse about being imprisoned is probably another good clue. It's funny because I started the conversation with them. I said, let's talk about freedom. Lynn was there. What kind of a response did that get?
You're a funny guy.
Yeah. There were lots of responses. A lot of eyes rolled, a few moans. But my favorite was some girl in the front said, you're a funny guy. Freedom. I put that in my list of things not to talk about at the women's prison. But actually, I was quite surprised and amazed and, as usual, inspired when I started to ask them about freedom. I said, really, do you guys have any freedom here? And what do you think their answer was? They were, absolutely. We're free to decide. We have freedom of religion. And we're free to decide how our attitude is going to be. We're free to decide whether we're going to obey the voice of authority or whether we're going to get into more trouble. So, and they were beginning to, they had lots of freedom to talk about. They might have been put off a little bit at first, but once you start talking about it, of course they know what freedom is. Probably people who have lost their freedom have a new and deeper sense of just what freedom means, right? So this was an interesting experiment for me, or experience, to think about freedom in a new way. And to have my own eyes opened as they were Thursday night. Paul says, before faith came, we were imprisoned and guarded under the law until faith would be revealed. Therefore, the law was our disciplinarian until Christ came, so that we might be justified by faith. But now that faith has come, we are no longer subject to a disciplinarian. Again, there's language in here that has a special ring to it in the prison. And I could almost, picture with these women what it means to live under a disciplinarian. There are officers. They call them corrections officers. They're not prison guards. They're corrections officers. But they're everywhere. And they're watching your every move, and you have to do what they say. Kind of reminds me of the metaphor that Paul is using. You know, the Old Testament that Paul grew up with, that Jesus, for that matter, grew up with, was very much like this ever-present disciplinarian watching your every move. And when you step out of line, you're going to know it, because the law is there to say right or wrong. You either stepped out of line or you kept in line, right? That's what the law did. It kept us trying to follow the rules. Well, some of us want more out of life than following rules, don't we? And I think even God wants more for us than just a bunch of rule followers. So God wants us to be free. God wants us to be free to love God and to love one another. We may have tried it at first with all these rules. If you follow all these rules, then you're going to be living in love, but it didn't really work out that well. So thankfully, God has this sort of an interesting plan to reset things every once in a while. I kind of think of it as, on your computer when you're browsing somewhere, sometimes you have to click that little blue circle arrow, right, for those of us in the, I think it's on everyone, not just Microsoft, but even an Apple, don't you hit a little blue arrow on a Mac? Huh? Yeah, to refresh. Sometimes you just have to refresh and start all over, right? So in our Bible study, we were looking at one of the most sort of famous refresh stories in the Bible is the flood narrative, right, of Noah. It's kind of an interesting story. God gets really disgusted with the whole planet. Actually, not just the planet. It's really just the people. Let's narrow it down to the real problem. The planet was fine. It's these people that messed things up. So God decides, I'm going to hit the refresh button. I'm going to restart everything. So, and he was going to just wipe out all the people. Then he thought, there's one guy. He's all right. This Noah guy. I'm going to save him. Right? This is a story, remember. It's a story. My favorite definition. It never happened, but it's always true. So the part of this story that's always true is that God looks at the planet and thinks, you know, if there's just one person, if I can just put my faith and my hope in one person can make a difference. And that's what that story of Noah, that's one way to read that story. Can you imagine telling that story to your children and thinking, you know, one person can change the world. Isn't that a good, that's good news, isn't it? That's a good message to give your kids. One person, this one right here, can change the world. I'm going to put all my hope in one person, and it's going to change everything. The whole system, the whole way that humanity works is going to be reset. How'd that work out? It always gets back to the same old, same old. So Noah was saved and then populated the planet with more people. Seems to be the common denominator here to all our problems. More people. Anyway, fast forward to this Jesus character. And what Paul is talking about here in his letter to the Galatians is another sort of a new kind of restart, refresh button. I'm going to refresh the whole thing, but I'm not going to do it, you know, by wiping out everybody. I'm just going to do it by giving them sort of a new spirit within them, a new heart. And one of the images that Paul uses a lot is baptism, so that those who are baptized into Christ will no longer think the way they used to think. They're going to walk on the planet with a sense, a new sense of what it means to be human. And so in that sense, we get this, as many of you who were baptized into Christ have clothed yourselves with Christ. Therefore, there is no longer Jew or Greek. There is no longer male or female. There is no longer slave or free. For all of you are one in Christ Jesus. All of you are one in Christ Jesus. So the old rules for humanity no longer apply, male and female, Jew or Greek or any other national ethnic identity, right? No more tribal thinking, my tribe versus your tribe. But we're all going to be sort of one. We're going to live with this new humanity. And when you have a new humanity, you have new rules for the new humanity. And what are the rules? Do we need to memorize the Ten Commandments? Add to it all the laws in Leviticus and Exodus and Numbers and Deuteronomy put together? Something like 670 laws. I can't remember the exact number. Do we have to memorize them all? Are those the new rules? Well, that's the good news, the refreshing news for us, is there's really only one law. Anybody give it to me? Love God, love your neighbor. Yeah, love your neighbor as yourself. Right? Just earlier in this chapter, in the second chapter of Paul's letter to the Galatians, he has this really, for me, it's a very powerful verse, probably one of the best in there. It's Galatians 2:20. He says, so that I might live to God, I have been crucified with Christ, and it is no longer I who live, but it is Christ who lives in me. That's the refresh button that we all get to push. It's no longer me and my small-minded, judgmental, I think I'm the smartest guy in the room most of the time. It's no longer that attitude who's in the driver's seat of Paul. That was crucified with Christ, the me that thought he knew everything and knows better and has all the answers. But instead, now it's Christ who lives in me. We each get this personal refresh button. Isn't that great? You guys might do it every time you come up to this communion table is another way that we experience the refresh button. This is the new covenant for the forgiveness of sins poured out for you and for many. Take and eat. Take and drink. Refresh. I have been crucified with Christ so that I might live to God. It is no longer I who live, but it is Christ who lives in me. And what that new law looks like, I feel kind of dumb for not knowing this sooner. But I learned it recently, so I'm glad I at least learned it. You know, there's a couple of different places where Jesus sort of gives this law. And one of them, you guys quoted it to me, love your neighbor as yourself, right? There's a couple of different places where Jesus offers that. You might remember the one in Luke because some lawyer stands up and says, well, who's my neighbor? And Jesus says, well, and then he tells the story of the Good Samaritan. This is who your neighbor is. Whoever needs you is your neighbor. Whoever helps you is your neighbor. The people that we help and that we need and we get help from, those are our neighbors. There's another place in John's gospel, right? So that's one model for love. Love your neighbor as you love yourself. That's an interesting model for love, right? Because it's very selfish driven. It recognizes that we're basically selfish, right? And we're going to do what's best for us. And so I'm going to love my neighbor the way I love myself because that's good for me. But there's a second one, and this is what I learned recently, this sort of different. This kind of ups the ante a little bit. Later, Jesus says to his disciples, love one another as I have loved you. It's different, isn't it? How is that different? Love your neighbor as yourself. Love one another as I have loved you. The model, it's a different model, right? One of them, I'm the model for my own love. That's going to get me so far, and it's actually not a bad one. But this one says that the way Christ loves is my model for love. I'm going to love my neighbor, I'm going to love one another, we're going to love one another as Christ has loved us. How did that work? It was sacrificial love. It was love that put others first. It was love that gave up its own life. John says it like this, there is no greater love that a person had that you give up your life for your friends. That's the model for love. That's the new humanity. Those are the new rules that we live by, right? We're going to love our neighbors as ourselves, and we're going to go another step further. We're going to love one another as Christ has loved us. We're going to look to their interest. We're going to make sacrificial love. Sometimes it means giving our money for the food pantry or other ministry needs. Sometimes it means sacrificing, you know, loving in ways that really are hard and challenging. But we do that because that's our new model. That's the new model. That's the refresh that the planet needs. That's the model that's going to save, right? Because somebody's about to hit the refresh button just in time, right? Because it looks pretty desperate out there, doesn't it? The whole world looks like a desperate situation. And we need that refresh button. So the good news is it's up to us to push the refresh button. We're not to wait for God to wipe the place out with another flood, or fire, or earthquake. We just need to come to the table, remember our baptism, enter into covenant with one another. All the things that we do, whether it's in worship or in our daily walk, we hit the refresh button and we live by the new rules so that we can be a new humanity. Thanks be to God.